It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live from the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Sometimes these ticket price discussions are really boring, but I'm not going to bring up the Jets increase one yesterday because this happens, I feel like, all the time. You know, teams are going to increase tickets, inflation, all that stuff. But I did want to bring up two that were interesting to me of how crazy the secondary market for the World Series tickets are.
Yes.
So, and these are two real life examples of people that I talked to in the last 2 days that just were telling me about this. So I have a friend who had a 20 game regular season plan, or maybe 30, whatever it is, but he gets like one game around, you know, because of whatever plan that he bought. So he gets World Series game 5. So these seats are not legend seats, you know, they're just, they're regular seats that I don't even think they're in the lower level. Right. So he goes, all right, I got these game 5 tickets. He's a big Yankee fan. He's like, let me just throw them up on the secondary market for $5,800 a piece. They were gone in 30 seconds, he said.
Wow.
And he's like, well, now I need a game 5. He's like, I'm a Yankee fan. If they sweep, I'm going to be pissed. Because he was 4 tickets for $5,800 a piece.
So basically, he paid for his entire ticket allotment for the year.
Yes.
So good for him.
Of course, good for him.
I mean, I listen, if it were my. So now, if I were Major League Baseball and I saw all of this happening.
Yeah.
I mean, aren't you like ticked off? I'm like, it's your team. It's like the Yankees invested all this money into their players. Like, I know this is it's a weird discussion. But I was just thinking, like, so I'm paying all these players $340 million.
Mm-hmm.
And my team that I spent all this money on is basically making it to the World Series. But if I ever put a ticket up for $5,800, you know, for it, your general entry, people would be freaking out.
Oh, yeah.
But yet somebody could sell it for $5,800 on the secondary
market. Yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, I think that they...
And by the way, how many goddamn fees are there?
Oh, well, yeah, that's
it's unbelievable the amount of fees and handling fees and this fee and that fee and this tax and that tax.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
So, but it's also Yankees-Dodgers, and I think Major League Baseball will take Yankees-Dodgers every day of the week, and it's like, okay, the secondary market's going to be crazy, and we don't love that, but we're getting Yankees-Dodgers.
But how about this? Here's the real, like, the underlying thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy your tickets from the team, okay?
And Major League Baseball actually controls all playoff tickets,
All right, so you buy your tickets from Major League Baseball, whoever you're buying them from,
yeah,
initially at the opening cost that they set for you to buy the tickets. In that are fees and taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Now you get those tickets and you say, let me put them on the secondary market. Let me see what's happening here. The secondary market, $5,800 per ticket, you just told me. Now whoever is buying those tickets are paying fees and taxes.
Oh, yeah.
So the state, and I think the city, probably love the secondary market. No matter if the politicians are screaming and yelling about the actual cost of the actual ticket. But now that the secondary market is involved.
Yeah.
And they're being sold. And who knows? Those tickets may be sold again.
Maybe. If it's 2-2 and it's nuts. So here's the other one. So this was yesterday at Sabrina's soccer practice. I'm talking to another dad who's a Yankee fan. He goes, you know, my brother's going to the game with some buddies. And they asked me, did I want to go? And then he told me that the ticket was $1,800 a ticket, you know, that they got on StubHub. And I was like, you know, it's just a little too much. I said, well, where are you sitting? Because I heard $5,800, so like $1,800 might not be so bad. Where are you sitting? He's like, oh, let me take a look. Standing room only. They got standing room only, general admission, $1,800 a ticket for game 3 on Monday.
Yeah, well, it's a reality. And this
is even crazier to me than the $5,800 for a seat.
Right, and by the way, the Yankees and the Dodgers can be camouflaged by Major League Baseball because Major League Baseball controls the tickets.
Yeah, right, exactly, yeah. But I mean, I don't think that was face value, though. I don't think that was
That was secondary market.
Yeah, the standing room only was not $1,800 a ticket
but
face value.
But how would you feel, though? Like, if you had built something and you were putting something together and you were selling tickets for people to come see, and then you found out people who had the tickets were selling the tickets for five times what you were selling them for.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. It would not make me happy. I'm just trying to, in this particular example, it's like, all right, your team's in the World Series. You're making so much money to begin with. You know that it's matchup driven. You know, if they were playing, you know, if it were the Yankees and let's say the Diamondbacks of last year, would not be the same type of allure. You got the two biggest markets in there. So, yeah, it sucks. No doubt about it. But I do think that the teams are just, they're raking it in so much from this that, right. that this is just like a little side note.
And the other thing, too, is warning to the players. You want to know why fans are going to be on your ass?
Oh, yeah.
You pay this kind of money to support your salaries and everything else?
Oh, yeah. Like, so if the Yankees have one of those dud Met losses that they had in game 3 and 4 at home.
Oh, boy.
You're paying, like, you know, to bring somebody else with you, potentially $12,000 to sit in a normal seat. Yeah. Aaron Judge strikes out and it's 10-1 Dodgers. Woohoo. Let's go to Brian in Northport. What's going on, Brian?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I got 2 points. Number one, you're talking about the tailgating and how boring things can be without weed and beer. Did you ever see the Simpsons episode where he stops drinking?
I did not, no.
He's sitting at one of the baseball games. And he goes, I never realized how boring baseball was because he couldn't drink. Anyway, so $5,800 times 42,000 people is what? A packed stadium?
Yeah, but listen, so that's just for like a seat that I think is, I got to find out exactly where it is. Like the legend seats on the secondary market are going for $10,000 or more per ticket.
But my point is, so for one game, if you average $5,800 a ticket, that's $243 million times 3 home games is $730 million. You just paid for Soto in 3 games.
Yeah, but the Yankees aren't getting all that money. That's what we're saying. This is secondary market. Like people, so right. the guy that I know, he got his ticket face value. You know, I'm going to ask him what his face value was for the World Series and then what he ended up selling.
And just
it for.
Remember this, that the Major League, just remember this, the players share the ticket revenue with the ownership. So everybody has to buy a ticket. In other words, no tickets are given away unless you're a guest of somebody who's actually bought a ticket. You see what
right.
I'm saying?
So, if they could get even close to that, you look at the numbers for 3 games. It's crazy.
Yeah,
no, yeah, but they're not going to get close to that. That's the thing.
Yeah, because
they don't receive anything unless there's some sort of fee or something that is tacked on with these secondary markets. Which I think didn't the Cubs get in trouble for something like this?
Yes, because they were themselves, like the owners were.
Putting stuff on the secondary market.
Right.
I mean, listen, that's what I was thinking. Like, if you were an owner and you had access to tickets, well, I don't know. I guess, obviously, that's not a good look.
No, it's not at all.
And that would be some sort of conflict of interest and fraud.
For without a doubt.
I would think it'd be like when somebody stops in front of you on a highway and then you run into the back of them as they back up into you. And then they try to force you into paying them through your insurance company?
Yeah, seen a lot of that lately. Ruben in Belleville, what's going on, Ruben?
Hey, what's up, guys? Good morning.
Good morning.
So I'm hearing about these ticket prices. I had to tell you about 1996. I was working for a place that we did catering for the Yankees. Yeah. So I ended up with 2 sets of tickets. I think I paid $175 each ticket. I ended up selling the second set for $350, so I basically went into the game for free. But people were offering us $1,000 for these tickets. But we wanted to go, first time in 15 years, so we turned down the money. We just went in, broke even. So we get in there, we're super excited, and then 2 words, Andrew Jones.
Oh.
And to this day, I regret not selling both of those tickets and going and hanging out in Billy's and going to Dominican Republic for the weekend.
Yeah, you know what, Ruben? And that's the thing about sports, man, is you never know. Like, I remember Subway Series 2000, one of the games that I went to with my mom where it didn't work out. Thank God last Friday night did. It was game 5. We bought game 5 at Shea Stadium before the series started, and it was from a scalper. And that we actually knew, and it was mezzanine box first row just left of home plate, which was the third level there, and it was that was in 2000. It was $1,000 per ticket for that 24 years ago.
You know, I know it's the Yankees, and I know it's 42 or 44,000 people at Yankee Stadium, and they normally sell out anyway because it's the thing to do when you come to New York. You got to go to a Yankee Stadium if you're a tourist, so yeah. that's part of the allure, and there's also all the corporate support that the Yankees receive
through
their sponsorships and everything else, which is great. I'm just wondering. So this is the World Series, and you see how Yankee fans are reacting, and they haven't had a World Series since 2017, but 2009 when they won, right?
Well, no. They did not make it in 2017.
They lost the Astros.
Right, yes. Yeah, so 2009. It's been 15 years.
So it's been 15 years. What happens if the New York Rangers make it to the Stanley Cup Final this year?
Yeah, those tickets will be absolutely insane.
And there's only 18,000 people.
Exactly. Well, what if the Knicks make it to the NBA Finals?
Yeah, like one of those two teams. I can't even imagine what the ticket prices will be for those games. I remember like the 94 Stanley Cup Finals. I didn't buy the tickets. I was a guest of somebody who was buying the tickets, and I remember how much he was telling me they were costing.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because you were right there. And you know, it changes the crowd, too. Like, there's no doubt. Like, I remember I went to so many games in 2000, and I remember going into the World Series, and I'm like, it's a different crowd.
That's a lot of corporate people.
Right.
Some people are there who are dyed-in-the-wool Yankee fans who are corporate. Don't get me wrong. Like, my buddy, Timmy O'Brien, who was able to get the tickets for us for the Knicks and the Rangers in 1994, huge Ranger and huge Knicks fan, just like I am.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was a corporate guy, worked for a company, and we were entertaining clients.
Right.
And they were Ranger and Knicks fans, too, thankfully. You know, they weren't just there to be a part of the scene. They were there to root on the team.
Sure.
So I've been in those corporate seats, so I know what that's like.
Yeah.
The problem is like when you're bringing somebody, I don't know, let's say I'm just trying to think of give me a financial company, J.P. Morgan.
Okay.
And I don't know what they can do and what they can't do anymore, depending on with all these different laws and regulations that are in place now. But J.P. Morgan, two executives are bringing two guys from, I don't know, Goldman Sachs. And those two guys from Goldman Sachs just want to say that they're there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that they're not rooting for anybody.
Yeah, it's just it's a different crowd. Totally different crowd.
I'm thinking that the Goldman Sachs would have guys that would be, or gals that would be rooting for the home team, hopefully.
Doug in Northport, what's going on, Doug?
What's going on, guys? So the standing room only, which is called the Pinstripe Pass, was $1,100 on Ticketmaster when they first made it.
So that's like that's face value.
That's face value.
God.
Got to pay those players.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm not going.
Yeah, Doug, I don't blame you. So yeah, the guy I was talking to you yesterday, they got him for 1800, the standing room.
Major League Baseball just do this? Could any league do this? Not just Major League Baseball. We're talking about it because it's the World Series and the secondary market prices are exorbitant. I was just wondering if one of these leagues could ever just one day say, okay, we're going to take one game and we're going to make it available, and then you got to come up and we got to check you out. So we got to make sure you're not a corporate guy.
Yeah, right.
That you're a normal fan that has gone to, you know, a lot of home games. Is there a way to, like, police that?
Probably not. It would be so much time and effort. You know what I'd like to see? Put the whole stadium up for auction. Then you'll really get some money, right? Get people bidding on seats. Starts here. I mean, I couldn't even imagine. And then you get two guys that really want to sit in those first two seats behind home plate,
yes,
competing against one another.
Yeah, but those legend seats, like we have legend seats. By the way, did we get our seats yet?
No, I didn't. I did not hear from Zuckerman yesterday.
I saw him walking out yesterday.
And what did he say?
I gave him a big hug. I said, we were talking about you this morning, about how much you love the talent and how much you, because he has like a big sheet.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's got a lot of names and graphs and things of that nature. And I'm like, hey, look, if you're taking somebody, are you sure they're going, or are they selling those tickets? Because they're not going. Me and Gio want to go.
No, I know. Well, I thought we were going. I thought he got the tickets for us.
Well, I told him, and he seemed to be, I don't know, he was like, I put my arm around him.
Yeah, little guy.
He's a little guy, and he's smaller than Al, actually. Mm-hmm. He's like Jerry's height, but he's Al's weight.
Interesting. Yeah,
Jerry's a thick son of a bitch.
He can be.
He can be. But you never know because he wears those baloney pants he wears. So I don't really know how. But anyway, I put my arm around him.
Yeah.
And I felt him shaking.
Yeah, no, it's been a rough go for him.
Is he okay?
Well, think about this. He's got access to, there's a bunch of tickets that the company has. And he's got to decide, you know, which client's going.
Oh, he had
going
a spreadsheet out.
But
it was insane, the spreadsheet I saw, and I was like, wow. But when I put my arm around him, I'm just saying, like, he was, like, shaking.
We should get him in here today.
Al, is that normal? Like, if you put your arm around a guy, he shakes?
I think certain guys around you get shaky, yeah.
And especially he knew what you wanted. And
yeah.
What you
I don't think he knew. I don't think he was listening.
Now, someone got to him.
It got to him.
There's no doubt.
Plus, if you're... you know, going up near him, he thinks you probably need something.
You know, it was interesting because what I saw him doing, like when I left the studio, we had some guests here yesterday. We had a couple clients in here yesterday.
Yeah.
I guess not our clients. I guess clients of the AEs who handle them, right?
Sure.
And one of the clients was coming in because I'm doing something with them on Sunday night. It's a very nice thing that they're doing, and I'm going to be emceeing their event.
Understood.
Sorry, bud. This one is a freebie. It's a freebie because they're a client, and I'm giving up a Sunday night to go and do this, and I want to do it. You know why? Because the guy that had asked me to do it is a dear friend, and he's an amazing human being, and I want to be a part of it. So, but he's also a client of the station. I knew that. That guy, Zuckerman, right? The guy that was shaking.
Yeah, yeah.
He was talking to them.
Oh.
When I was walking out. And I'm like, okay, so now what is he doing?
Well, that guy you're talking about, Red Sox fan, too.
Yeah, but he doesn't want the tickets. Okay. But no, but I'm thinking that Zuckerman's like all over him for other reasons. I had nothing to do with the tickets.
I thought the tickets. I got you now.
Yeah, you know, I can help you out. Sure. Yeah, no problem. Yeah, whatever you need.
You know, it sounds like that character, was it Bill?
Oh, the one that Eddie plays?
Yes.
You know, with Chris King, one?
Yes, ooh. Yes. Who was that character?
Oh, Mr. Bill.
Mr. Bill, yes. Yeah, Zuck does sound a little like Mr. Bill.
Oh, man. Yeah, I don't know if he's here today, but we should get him in. And we should find out exactly where we're sitting for Game 3. It's Boomer and Geo on the fan.
Seats.
Yeah, well, I know, but which side? You know, I think they got a couple. Boomer and Geo on the fan.
Tell Lon and Randy, get that sushi wrapped up for us, baby. They got great sushi over there.
Yeah, make sure
maybe
that.
The only place better sushi, maybe Tao?
Nobu, right?
Nobu?
Yeah. Tao. Yeah, and make sure that candy wall is stocked. We're coming through.
There we go.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the fan, and CBS Sports Network had that discussion about Yankee tickets, secondary market going crazy. Don't forget, we're giving away Yankees Game 3 World Series tickets against the Dodgers.
And you could send your kids to college.
Yeah, we're giving them away tomorrow. On this show, and then on BT and Sal, and then Evan and Tiki. So.
Is there a way to control whether or not those tickets are being used or sold, Al?
I'm not sure how they do it. Sometimes they do it that, you know, you get the tickets right before the game, and you have to have your ID. I don't know how they... I'm not exactly sure, but I know they have tried that in the past, not to have them be sold.
Yeah, hold on for that. Mark in Old Wicker, New Jersey. Mark, what's happening?
How we doing, gentlemen?
All right, what's going on?
I'm in quite a little bit of a pickle here. I'm a season ticket holder, and I opted for the postseason package. I have two tickets to Game 5, and every morning I wake up, I check, and they keep going up in price. The problem is I'm newly engaged, and I just found out about a month ago I got my first kid on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Nice. How much can you get for your tickets?
The tickets are up to $21.50 a piece. I have two of them. I have, of course, I bought the season pack for my new fiance as a birthday gift every year. Really a gift for me, but we've been going for 2 years now, and I'd love to take her to see, especially if the series is 3-1 at that point. I'd love to see the confetti drop, but I keep thinking my parents are going to tell me to sell the tickets, but all they do is send me old Halloween costumes when I was like 7 years old as me dressed up as Darren Sears.
Mark, how much were they face value?
I got like the 3-game package was like $850, so they broke down to like $200 a piece, something like that.
For the World Series?
Well, I got ALDS, ALCS, and World Series, two tickets each.
Okay.
Like $850 then.
Yeah, I see. I think that if you waited even a little longer, like if that if yeah. they come back and then
they're 2-0, they're up 2-0.
Well,
Yankees are up 2-0. So this is game five, right?
Yeah. So
there's a good chance that game five would be the clinching game.
It could. I mean, it could be. But if it's tied 2-2, that's a huge game.
Don't sell them now. I would wait.
Yeah, wait. I would.
You gotta wait.
I would definitely wait. Now the only way you get screwed.
I'd hate to miss seeing the confetti drop though, or just see a Judge home run in game five of the World Series. You know,
just you and your fiance stay at home and get hammered and go to Pound Town.
You know, my cousin said that same thing. So call her when I need a ride.
Very good, Mark. Well, I
thing, Boomer. I met your aunt once. We're a big Newfoundland family, and we got to meet her because she had Newfoundlands as well, correct?
Yeah, my Aunt Louise. She was the president of the Newfoundland Club of America for many, many years, and she had probably at least at the height, probably at least 15 of those bad babies, and they were breeding them.
Yeah,
and beautiful dogs.
My mom bred them as well. We had like 8 of them when I was growing up. Great
there
dogs.
You go. Beautiful
right,
dogs.
Thank you, guys. Thank you very
all
much.
Right, all right. See, there's Mark.
How do you suppose he knew that was your aunt?
Because it was my Aunt Louise Esiason. Last name.
Pretty good hint.
Yes. Wasn't like Aunt Louise, you know, Dukes.
she was lefty.
In more ways than you know.
All right.
I mean, she was on my side.
I think I didn't get that.
She and my uncle were on your side, Eddie, yes. Beautiful people, though. The most gracious and kindest people that I could ever imagine.
How's that possible? Life. I thought we were all devils.
Nah, it's my father's brother, and it was just great memories. Going up to Granville, New York, he was a teacher at East Northport High School.
East Horport?
East Northport High School.
Oh.
And left and moved up to Granville, New York, man, which is in the middle of nowhere, right on the border of New York and Vermont.
Isn't that where when you came back with the horse or something?
Yes. Pony. Not the horse, the pony. In the back of a Fury 3, where my dad took the back seat out. And we had the pony in the back of that thing.
Yeah, one of the great pictures of you is the height of your career. I think you're wearing your jersey without pads on with two Newfoundlands in your backyard. That's like a card.
Yes, it is. They made it one of those. I forget who was the company that did that, but they did a series of cards of us doing other things and just playing football.
Yeah, that is an all-timer, that picture.
Yes.
All right, Jerry, what's going on?
We are brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Mercedes-Benz of Morristown. Talking about the ticket prices for the World Series. Well, talking about the series itself, here's one Anthony Rizzo. He knows a thing or two about pretty good World Series when you think about the Cubs and the Indians from several years ago now. Well, he thinks the comparisons, this could be up there.
That World Series was arguably one of the best World Series, I would say, ever, right? And then now I get to be in another, arguably one, could be what shape out to be one of the best World Series ever as well.
And we know Garrett Cole will get the start for the Yankees and Jack Flaherty for the Dodgers. Game one finally will be tomorrow night. Mets President of Baseball Operations David Stearns with the media Wednesday. Here he is talking about his first baseman, Pete Alonso.
He's a great Met. I hope we have him back. I think we both understand this is a process, and everyone's got their own interests. And Pete deserves to go out into the free agent market and see what's out there and then ultimately make the best choice for him and his family.
So it doesn't seem like anything's going to get done anytime soon.
Yeah, I mean, it mirrors the Saquon Barkley situation and the fact that there is a price that they will bring him back for.
Yeah.
But they're also not afraid to let him go. And if he gets more, he gets more, they'll be fine.
Yep.
But, I mean, they like Pete, but they like Pete for a number of years and whatever the money is. And once you go beyond that, then see ya. He's not one of those guys you're going to prioritize.
Sounds like it, no doubt. Off the beaten path a little bit, but because we were just talking about animals and dogs, and we had a caller call in. This is caller Vance from the Paul Feinbaum Show. He was from Georgia. He had an interesting character. Just let it play out, if you will.
Oh, I watched, what's his name? Stephen A. Smith. He wants to keep crowing that Deion Sanders should be up for Coach of the Year. Will you shut up? I'm trying to talk to Paul.
Hey, Vance, who is there?
My damn cat.
Oh, okay.
So when you isolate it.
Will you shut up? I'm trying to talk to Paul.
Yeah. I mean, the cat answered back like, "You shut up."
That was great, Jerry. You know what that's like.
I do. I have cats, of course. Yes. I got two of them, no doubt. He said this cat he took in, just found it in 2005.
Oh my
god! And it's
god.
Still doing well. 19 years old, so
jeez,
pretty good.
And he seems talking to it like that.
Like they're
Will
married.
You shut up? I'm trying to talk to Paul.
Wouldn't it be great if he's like, that's my wife, actually?
That would be funny. He did not say that, though. Anyhow, we get in the NFL tonight. You got the Rams and the Vikings in Los Angeles. On Sunday, the Jets are in New England.
By the way, who do you guys like tonight?
Like the Vikings.
Four? The Vikings by four?
No, it's like 2.5, I think.
2.5.
Yeah, and it's there in L.A., so that's why. I don't know, man. Like, the fact that Cooper Kupp's coming back, I don't like that. If you look at Matthew Stafford's win percentage with Cooper Kupp and without him, it's stark. So I'm worried about the game. Very much worried.
You should be. I mean, you know, it's not who you play, it's when you play them.
Mm. Well, speaking of being worried about a game... So today, Patrick Mahomes Sr. begins his 10-day jail sentence for DWI. Remember that happened around Super Bowl time? So I guess the audio of the arrest was released. So here he was talking to the police officer before he was officially arrested.
Mr. Mooney.
Yes, sir.
Can I say one thing?
You may. Mm.
My son is getting ready to play in the f-ing Super Bowl, okay?
Yes,
No, just listen to me.
Uh-huh.
I am not drunk. I promise you.
Okay.
I've had some drinks.
Uh-huh.
But he can't have this right now.
He says bad timing.
Listen, this can't happen.
Who's your son?
Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
And he can't have that right now. I mean, I don't care what... I mean, I could have somebody come get me and take me home.
Uh-huh.
But this right now is not the right time for that.
Hmm. And then here he's saying, not drunk, but boy, I did drink.
I've had a couple of drinks. Uh-huh. Yes, I have.
Yes, sir.
But I am not drunk, okay?
Okay, sir.
I mean, I would probably blow over the legal limit.
Okay.
But, dude, seriously.
I'm sorry.
I probably don't want to say that.
I was laughing at Jerry's face. I wasn't laughing at the situation, but
right, not the best thing to say.
I would probably fail the sobriety test.
Yeah. So that was interesting. So 10 days he starts today.
So arrest me for DUI next month. Because tonight is not the night to do it.
Well, it certainly didn't affect Patrick in the Super Bowl, that's for sure.
No, it didn't. Mm-hmm. And we were there to see the end of it.
Yes, we were.
Well, I thought you guys left.
No.
Didn't you guys leave early?
No.
No, sir.
Nope.
Oh, I thought you did, and I thought you were running to try.
Oh, we were running.
And
oh, yeah.
No, 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 no. They
we
did
were
leave
running.
Early. They did leave early.
Just sprinting.
I got them tickets, got them everything they needed, and they left early.
Yeah, but was it like at the 2-minute warning early?
No. It was much earlier. As soon as we saw the touchdown, it was like, all right,
it was
we're
over.
At, yeah, it was. It we was got over. Out of there. We didn't see the celebration.
We had to get back.
Yeah, we had to get back.
We're running.
I'm not buying this. See, I this don't remember. Like, I'm not buying this.
This is the Al anxiousness.
No, I wasn't.
You know.
Oh, you are?
No, I had to go home for a run.
Well, who was that other guy?
Who was the other guy?
I was the other guy.
You know what I would say? They probably didn't even go. They probably sold their tickets.
No,
you
know, I don't
made up this
that.
Whole
we
story.
We talked about it.
We thought about it for sure, 100%.
Trying to take care of these guys, and this is how they knife you and shib you in the back.
It was nice.
It was awesome. It was great.
But then we also figured that you might be able to see if we were... seats or not.
So we didn't have the guts.
Well, you needed a telescope to find us.
So this was a conversation.
Oh, 100%.
Oh, God, yeah. You kidding me?
Without a doubt. We didn't do it. Did the right thing.
Because stay till the end.
You know, especially because all that great pregame stuff we did, although we did not have a good time, Al. We did not enjoy ourselves at those pregame parties at all.
Well, that was not a tailgate. That was a real party. That was professionally put on.
Actually,
they called it a tailgate. Actually,
the most enjoyable part of the trip for Al was the flight out.
Actually, no, because we got to the plane later than everybody else. We were stuck on that couch together. Me and Al were basically rubbing knees the entire time.
No, I think he means out to Vegas.
Oh, that one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that was good. That was his.
Ruined it by telling him he had a.
Right. That I had to tip the person giving me many drinks. Yes, correct.
Yeah, I'd never seen Al so happy and gregarious as on that flight.
Yeah, and all those free drinks and free food and free flight.
Yes.
Give the woman a tip.
That was awesome. And we did.
You know, I mean, you don't have to give her, just give her a nice tip and say thank you.
And we did. But we had no idea that that was a thing.
She's a working person. She's a working, just like the pilots are working people.
But we didn't tip them.
No, they make a lot more money. She does, of course.
And then on the way back, because of that discussion, everybody was just throwing money in, making sure that the same thing didn't happen. She was walking around with a collection plate. Thank you.
Yeah, it was not the worst. I heard change hit that collection plate. Al, I think, put quarters in there.
Still currency.
Yes, it is. The Nets lost to the Hawks last night by 4, and you've got the ticker tape parade for the Liberty later this morning.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The NFL trade deadline for many years was irrelevant. You just never had any deals. Everybody said it was so complicated to get the deals done. And then the last couple of years, big names have been flying around. And so far this year, of course, we got big names flying around. A wide receiver, as we know about DeAndre Hopkins and Amari Cooper and, of course, Devontae Adams. So now, who is the next star to go? And I think you can get, just like every other sport, you get caught up in a lot of rumors, and some things are true, some things are not. You know, but the Max Crosby rumor to me is the craziest. If he asks for a trade or something, or becomes one of the guys that's like, I can't play here anymore, then maybe I could see that happening. But I just don't. He's the entire identity of that team that is in this rebuild. Like, you trade away that guy, it's like your fan base is going to lose their. It has to be 90% Max Crosby jerseys up in the stands of that team. Would be nuts. But if they deal him, that's a like pendulum swinging type of deal, because that guy is a maniac and could help a defense out so much. I mean, he's been a thorn in Patrick Mahomes' side, even though they beat the Raiders all the time. But still, he talks about how tough it is to play against Max.
Man, I feel like we're talking about Devontae Adams all over again. That's what I feel like. I feel like back in July when I told you Devontae Adams was going to be traded, he was going to be traded because of his contract, the way it was written. I said also that Devontae Adams would never come out and say anything publicly about wanting to be traded, but eventually he was going to be traded. I thought it was going to be in September. I thought it would have been earlier and would have been made a hell of a lot more sense earlier, but there are cap considerations to take into account, and when money comes in and when NFL teams are flush with cash so they can make some of these deals and take some of these contracts and making them in signing bonuses to give them more room to fit people under their cap. There's a lot of mathematical situations that you got to look into and understand the business of the NFL. But Max Crosby's the same situation. You know, Tom Telesco didn't draft Max Crosby. He didn't draft, you know, Derek Carr, didn't trade for Devontae Adams. He's the GM that's running that team right now, and I'm telling you, they're going to have a new coach next year. I feel like that ship has sailed, and unfortunately for Antonio Pierce, it's been a nice little run for him. But they're gonna redo everything. And remember, Tom Brady is now going to be the face of that franchise and is going to be a part of a lot of the decision making going forward. And, you know, this is probably something that Peyton Manning wanted to do for a long, long time. And Tom Brady now is beating him to that punch. Like, he's not going to be running the team, but he is going to be advising the team. And why wouldn't Mark Davis ask for that?
Yeah, there's so much about him being a broadcaster and also now having this role that doesn't make sense. I mean, you know, it was like Tom Brady promises not to use broadcasting information and feed it to Raiders. I'm just like, this is you can't do
so
both of those things.
Here's the thing, you know, it's interesting. I was having a conversation with Maggie this morning. I said, I still can't imagine that Tom Brady's going to be doing what he's doing now for the next 2 years. I just can't imagine. I can't see it. And she was thinking, but Fox has the Super Bowl this year, so maybe the Super Bowl is his last broadcast, and then he can go and do whatever he wants with the Raiders. So I'm thinking, like, you know, if you're Tom Brady, you probably got somewhere between 300 and 500 million banked, and you're flying around doing all these games. And, you know, sometimes, even though Fox says it's, you know, football night in America or whatever, or the football game of the week, I think they call it, or America's game of the week. I mean, how many people are really watching? Like, everybody will be watching the Super Bowl, and everybody will be listening to them, and that will be something he'll be very excited about. I think now it's becoming very boring, I would think, for somebody like him.
Yeah, I mean, especially when he is a part of an organization that people, I mean, greeted him at the door, giving him a standing ovation. I was thinking, like, from the Tuck Rule to that.
Yes.
I mean, think about it. It's really, really amazing that he's with the Raiders.
I know
of all
one
teams.
Thing. Rich Gannon's not standing up and cheering for him.
No. Absolutely not. So, but yeah, anyway, back to Max Crosby. I do think that if he ends up getting traded, that's going to be huge. Now, I'm sure the Lions are looking into that with the loss of Aiden Hutchinson.
Everybody would love to have an edge rusher, a pass rusher, a guy who has all sorts of energy during the games. You know, I'm not saying that he's asking for a trade. I don't know that. But, you know, if you're the Raiders right now and you are bottom of the barrel in the NFL, basically you are. I mean, you're one of like four or five teams that are going to be fighting for the number one overall draft pick, whoever that may be. And I still think Shedeur Sanders makes a lot of sense for everything that's going on out there.
Ton of theft.
Get him here.
Yeah.
But I could see Tom Telesco saying, you know what, we're going to start over, and we're going to get the right coach in here, whoever that is, and maybe Tom Brady is a part of some of that decision-making, which means maybe Maggie is right. Maybe Maggie's speculating that this could be his only year broadcasting because it would end with a Super Bowl.